everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Sounds Groovy. With me, your host Meg. I hope everyone's well. I hope everyone's dandy. I hope everyone enjoyed the snow. I made a snow cat. It was pretty good until I decided to be all bougie on Instagram and I tried to pick it up and put it on my lap to take a picture with. And he fell off and decapitated and it was all very mortifying. And then that was the end of my snow cat. But life is all good. I hope everyone's well. How embarrassing. The last episode, I literally spoke about how much I wanted Glastonbury to happen. I was buzzing for it. I was like, yeah, everyone, cross your fingers and toes. It's going to be great. Life's going to be wonderful. And then literally less than 24 hours after releasing that podcast, it got cancelled. So that was mortifying. And I feel like I definitely jinxed it a little bit. I refuse, though. I'm refusing to cross it out on my calendar. So I've just put a little sad face next to it. So I know that life is sad and it's not happening. But onwards and upwards, happy vibes, happy times. Today we've got a cracking show lined up. We've got music from Drive, Amy P, Blue Orchard Reaction, Rippers. We've got, who have we got for our wild card? Problem Pattern for our wild card. And then I had the pleasure of speaking to Megan and Mario from Amore for the interview. So an absolutely incredible lineup. So let's get going. So our first track is from a two-piece from Newcastle Upon Tyne. Is that Newcastle or is that somewhere else? I know, geography is not my skill set, my friends. Anyway, yeah, Newcastle Upon Tyne. So it's made up of Andy and Jake. They look like pretty cool dudes, I have to say. When I look at their picture and when I look at their Instagram, they look like people that you would want to go to a gig with. Weirdly also, for a UK band, all of their top played locations on Spotify are in the USA, except for one, which is Mexico City, which is also obviously not in the UK, which is slightly weird. But yeah, cool. Kudos, guys. Clearly it's all vibing out there in America. They've got a really, really cool style. It's this sort of like 80s synthy electronic indie rock. They name Bleachers and 1975 and people like that as some of their musical inspos. And I could definitely hear that, but they also actually, not vocally, but there's just, I can't even put my finger on what it is, but there is something about them that does slightly remind me of Toodle Cinema Club, which is great because I love Toodle Cinema Club. Ooh, I love Toodle Cinema Club is what I meant to say that. Yeah, so let's have a little listen. So this is Drive and this is their track Vertigo.
Make me feel alive, don't look down below at this skirt.
So that's Vertigo by Drive. It's just such a good song. It's inspired by this sort of 80s nostalgia. There's this very sort of John Hughes aesthetic. You can definitely imagine, you know, with the big boombox on the shoulder. And they have this sort of cassette tape aesthetic. And it's just a really cool juxtaposition because you have this modern take on such like a classic style. They also, which is really cool, they made like a little video game. So you can find it on the on their bio on their Instagram. I sucked it. I literally was at it for like half an hour. And I don't think I got more than about 20 points because I was just terrible at it. But it's sort of like Space Invader kind of vibes. And it's super, super cool. So yeah, definitely go check them out. I'm really excited about what will be coming next. So yeah, definitely somebody to keep an eye out on. So next up we have a track from Hertfordshire solo artist Amy P. This track is such a bop. Like whenever I listen to it, I just cannot help but just, you know, like the shoulders start shimmying and then your whole body starts rocking and you just can't help but have a little boogie along. It is really, really cool. It's got this sort of 70s, 80s female singer kind of vibe where it feels like it could fit in really well into Footloose. It reminds me a little bit of Let's Hear It for the Boys. But yeah, it's just really fun and it's exciting and very upbeat. And there's something very nice to think about taking like a bit of a crappy scenario and turning it into something fun and turning it into something important. I mean, Lizzo did it and look how well that worked out for her. So yeah, really, really cool. So let's have a little listen. So this is Amy P and this is her track, Mr. M. That was Amy P and her track Mr. M. Like I said, a bop, can't help but boogie along. The lyrics are very sort of like easy to pick up on in the chorus and you can definitely sort of sing along, and it's just so much fun. So keep an eye out. On Friday this week, so I think it's the 12th, let me double check. Yeah, so Friday the 12th this week, her new single, Walk Away, is coming out. Yeah, so definitely go check it out. Keep your eyes and your ears peeled. And Amy P will be seeing much more of you. Okay. Today, on Chat Shit with Meg, my favourite time of day. Well, I was going to say my favourite time of week, but actually I just chat shit all the time. Anyway, my favourite time today, I'm going to have a little chat about TikTok. TikTok on the clock. Not the Kesha song, although it is the ultimate party song. Best song ever. But we're not going to get down that road today. Today, we're talking about the app. And, you know, I don't know whether we've just all been unbearably bored in lockdown, and we've all been spending lots and lots of hours on TikTok. Personally, you know what's cool about TikTok actually is it kind of picks up on your like phases. So like when I was really obsessed with Bridgerton, I still got a lot of Bridgerton on my TikTok. You know, it was all Bridgerton stuff when I kind of was when I was watching all the Harry Potter films. Again, all my stuff was like Harry Potter themed because that was like what I was liking and what I was interacting with, and they pick up on the things that you like and the things that you interact with, and then they like put more of that content onto your page, which is cool. But so I have a lot of singing videos on my page because what can I say, I'm a slut for a harmony. Love it. There's this girl, she's absolutely incredible. Her name is Sarah Cothran, C-O-T-H-R-A-N. And her and her friend, I don't know what her friend is called, but they sing together all the time and it's just incredible. They do these like siren harmonies and they blow my mind every time. And they also do really cool things. They take like popular songs. So they did like Aerosmith, Don't Want to Miss a Thing. They did Queen Behem's Rhapsody and they flip it and they do it in like a minor key. And it's incredible. So go check her out. She's super cool. But yeah, TikTok, which is bloody crazy, isn't it? Which just opened up this entire new music experience and opened up this world for A&R, which is just new and exciting. And I don't think anyone was expecting it. I don't think TikTok were expecting it. You know, like Jax, she recently got signed to Atlantic Records after she was posting music on TikTok. So she was doing her own like, original music, but she was also doing sort of funny alternative point of view songs. So she would do like Stacey's mum, but she would do it from the point of view of Stacey's mum, so you know, being like, why the hell is this kid here mowing my lawn again? Like, so they were quite funny. But she's got an incredible voice and she did have her own original songs as well, and she just got signed to Atlantic Records because of TikTok, which is just unbelievable. And you know, like literally today TikTok signed a global deal with like a licensing deal with Universal Music, so they've now got 3 out of 3 of the major labels, like they got access to their content and access to the, sorry, my licensing. I don't know the details of it. Licensing confuses me a little bit. But they basically have just access to their entire like database, which just seems crazy. And TikTok, yeah. I don't know if maybe if we hadn't been in this weird lockdown pandemic world, would it have kicked off as much? I don't know. If you look at the iconic songs of 2020, loads of them are like iconic TikTok songs. So you've got like, you know, Siren B by, I don't know how to say his name, is it Josh? Like Josh, 685. You know that Jason Derulo like, da-da-da, which literally got made into a Jason Derulo song. Apparently though, Jason Derulo didn't ask him for permission when he released that song, but they've sorted it out now. But we love a little musical scandal. You know, you then got like Stunning by Curtis Waters, which was one of my favorite ones, and you have all the outfits, and you know, it's like, I saw my neck that's coming and I'm a pretty boy, I'm stunning. And apparently he got offered a label deal and turned it down, which is also cool because it means, you know, the kind of the power as such sort of being put back in the hands of the musicians, and they're sort of in a position where they're able to control their own music and their own narratives and stuff. Obviously Savage, Megan Thee Stallion, I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty, which led to the even more iconic Carol Baskin, killed her husband, whacked him. You know, good times. And then you've also always got like, you know, the actual sort of like charting song. Not the Savage wasn't a charting song, but you know, you've got Blinding Lights, you've got Say So, Deathbed, Roxanne. Like, it's just absolutely crazy. And it does lead to the question, I think, are these songs popular because, are they, you know, are they popular in the charts because they're popular in TikTok, or are they popular in TikTok because they're popular in the charts? So who knows? I think it's probably slightly more that they're popular on TikTok and then become popular to the charts. Because if you look at some of the stuff that's gone like viral on TikTok, like it's M to the B bang, like that's not the charts, is it? Yeah, TikTok, crazy. So our next track is Blue Orchid Reaction. So you guys might remember these guys. They were on our Christmas episode with their track Almost Christmas. So made up from Paul, Dominic, Matt and Johnny. We've got the boys back. And this time we're going to have a listen to their track Escape to Plan, the Alex Archer remix. So I spoke about their debut EP last time I spoke about them, Four Chord Theory. And this is a remix of one of the tracks off it. So Escape to Plan. I'm just loving this remix. I think it's really, really good. There's something very fun and playful about their entire style. Like, you can just hear how much enjoyment they've got out of recording it and making it and being in the process. And there's something really nice about that. And it's this sort of indie meets progressive rock. There's something very raw and natural about their sound. I think they sound on track exactly how you'd expect them to sound live. You know, there's no overproduction, there's not loads of, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, it's very raw and kind of, I think they'd be so cool live, basically is what I'm trying to say. So let's have a little listen. So this is Blue Orchid Reaction and this is their track, Escape to Plan, and it's the Alex Archer remix.
Not affected by the
was the Alex Archer remix of Escape to Plan by Blue Oyster Reaction. Like I said, it's just such a jammy tune. I love it. It really represents, I think, the anger that the band are feeling towards politicians, and I think it's especially relevant now, you know, with kind of what we're all dealing with every single day. I think you can definitely feel their feelings of being failed by the politicians, and, you know, being failed by the people who have been elected and should be serving the public, but instead maybe are serving their own needs. And there's a nice little game of Guess Who on the artwork. I was literally looking at it for a few minutes before I clocked that, okay, no, not a few minutes, I'm not that bad. But I'd seen it kind of without properly looking at it a few times before I realised that it was politicians with, like, clown makeup on their faces. So that you've got, like, Trump and May and Boris and stuff, but there's still three people on there who cannot work out who they are. So if anyone wants a little play a game of Guess Who, have a little look and tell me who I'm being an idiot and I can't spot. Yeah, so definitely go check them out, and hopefully we should get some more content from them guys, those guys soon. So, of course, it's time for the wild card. I don't know what the wild card is. Today, it is a song called Gal Pals by Problem Pattern. Looking at the cover art, it's going to be some shouty feminism, and I am so ready for it. So, let's give it a listen. This is Problem Pattern, and this is their track, Gal Pals. God, I always love the wild card because I never know what it's going to be. until I'm fully invested. And that was so fucking cool. I kind of felt like, you know, Kat from 10 Things I Hate About You? Like, she would have been really into this band, and I'm super digging it. And I can imagine me and Kat from 10 Things I Hate About You just, like, vibing in the crowd and living our best lives. It's kind of old school, shouty feminism. Reminds of oh my god, I can't speak. Feminism. Shouty feminism. There we go. So kind of old school shouty feminism reminds me of sort of like Cherry Bomb. You know, that Runaways kind of just gloriousness. And they sound like, I bet you they're incredible live. I just, oh my god, they're so cool. So cool. And I love that line. It was something like, is she your new best friend? Do you like her better than me? I'm going to hit her in the head. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that girl. What can I say? I'm a possessive kind of girl. Yeah, super cool. So let's have a little look at them. So they are a four-piece queer punk band from Belfast, comprised of Beverly, Bethany, Kira, and Alana. I hope I said all those right. Oh, that's cool. So they have no singular front person. Instead, they like switch roles and they switch instruments. So everyone gets a voice. Everyone gets like a turn, and no topic is off limits. Love that. Love it. That's really cool, actually, about sort of having no singular front person. I can't think of anyone that I know of or that. Yeah, I can't think of anyone that does that. I'm just kind of waffling on that. I'm just a bit gobsmacked because that was really cool. So this is off the EP. EP? Yes, this is off the EP. Good For You, Aren't You Great by Problem Patterns. And then they've had another track out since then called Big Shouty. They just look so cool. Oh, look at them. I want to be friends with them. Oh, they were nominated for Best Live Act in the Northern Ireland Music Prize in 2020, alongside two consecutive nominations for the Oh Yeah Contender Award in 2019 and 20. Also been part of multiple compilations, including The Fight Is Not Over by Third Bar, A Litany of Failures and Bangers and Mashups, the latter being a charity compilation the band created in support of She Sells Sanctuary. So that's very cool. So that was Problem Patterns, and that was their track Gal Pals. So go check them out. Okay, welcome to this week's interview. I'm incredibly excited. One of my favourite tracks of 2020 easily was the Gigamesh remix of After Party, Animal. So I'm so excited to be joined today by Megan and Mario. So hey guys, how's it going?
Hi.
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. So you guys have released two singles. One came out at the end of August, so that was just Little. And then After Party came out in November. So how's the reception been?
It's been insanely good, a lot more than what we expected. You know, going into it, we didn't really have much promo, so seeing us get added to personally one of my favorite Spotify playlists called Peach was insane. You know, the morning of the release, I was just like checking socials and seeing everyone sharing it, which was so nice to see. And then updating my Spotify profile and then seeing the Peach playlist there, was just like, I was getting on the bus to pick up the keys for my new flat, and it was just like a really, really good morning, a really good start to the day. So yeah, for me, I think it's been brilliant.
Right. No, same for me. I feel like it's the first time that my parents actually enjoy the music that I've put out in a while. So that's been pretty sick.
Cool. So if I've done my homework correctly, you guys have hit 50,000 listens on Just Little and almost 25 on After Party, which is incredible for, you know, first singles, first EP, that sort of like first step in. So how's that? Like, were you expecting those numbers?
I think what we spoke about before the songs came out, like our goal was to get like 1,000 streams within a week, and we got like 3,000 within a day. So it's like, you know, mad crazy, and just keep going up, and you know, every couple of thousand is like its own milestone, so it's really cool to watch it.
Yeah, definitely agree. It's a lot. It's a lot more than I expected personally, but people like it, I guess. I'm happy with that.
So, what made you decide to release it as like singles rather than maybe doing a few more and putting out an EP, or because there's quite a big gap between August and November. So, kind of, what was your kind of method behind releasing the music?
So at the time, at the start of lockdown one, we kind of finished Just a Little, and then we just really wanted to put it out because we were so excited. And then shortly after, we were like, okay, now we need to make another song or get another song ready to release. So the reason it took so long was because we wanted to get the release right with finding the right person to remix it. So that took a while. Like, thankfully, we found Gigamesh, who was so lovely to accept the remix. So that's the reason why it was so far apart. It's kind of going to be it's going to be similar with the next one as well. But we have more lined up and planned with the next release, and then the releases after that. So it's going to be less of a gap between the songs from the next release.
So kind of musically then, I guess, you've got this very sort of very British kind of 80s synthy indie pop. You kind of remind me of Fickle Friends, which I'm sure you probably get that quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, we love them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're also from Brighton as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah. We went to the same uni, so that's fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so I guess how do you describe your music, or how would you explain yourself?
It's sincerely like pop. It's the most sugary pop ever. Like the best parts of it. Usually I feel like lately that's been changing a lot, where it used to be like pop wasn't really considered as cool. Not that it is now necessarily, but people are kind of accepting the, you know, indulging kind of a bit more into the, I don't know, the drama of it. Like, I guess, like, how it's too much. Like, it's dramatic. So I guess, like, our sound is, I guess, a lot of sugary pop stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think yeah, that's a good way of explaining it. Like, nostalgic sugar.
Yeah.
Synth pop.
Yeah, I like that word, sugar. It's very cool. So was this kind of always the style that you guys... Oh, God, I'm dropping my microphone. Was this always the style that you guys had together, or was it something that kind of developed over time?
I think Megan definitely had a stronger sense of what they wanted the project to kind of feel and sound like a lot more. But yeah, I was definitely into all of the references that we like first started talking about when we first started like working together. But yeah, it's you know, pretty much the like Fickle Friends, as you said, or like obviously bands like the 975. And that was like I'd say that was like our most common ground that we found like between us, and that was like the first video that I made in my channel when Megan DM'd me for the first time. So
yeah, I guess we could just say about how we met now. It's an easy transition.
Yeah, right.
Mario does YouTube videos, production videos, and I was starting to learn production. This was I think about a year and a half ago, I think. And yeah, he did a video on how to produce a song like the 1975, and I love them. They're like my favorite band. So I was watching his video and I thought, this dude is like the coolest dude I've ever seen in my life. So I messaged him on Instagram and I was like, I need a bit of help with production and with my band that I had at uni at the time, and I was asked if he wanted to help and do some co-producing. And then I guess it was, we just kind of slipped into just doing it together as well. And then it got to a point where I was just like, do you want to be in the band too?
Yeah. Which I don't know if I was really into at the time, because I kind of have like a bad experience with bands in general, but this is sort of different. So I'm into that.
Yeah, I feel like we're like musical soulmates in a way. Like after we'd known each other for quite a while, we started speaking more about like what we grew up listening to, and it's pretty much the same thing. So, you know, my initial thing, I study music production at uni, and my initial thing was to try and find like-minded people. And it was really hard for me to find people that were into the same music or into the same music but were serious about wanting to do music as a career. So when I was finding people from uni to be in my band, and then, you know, it just each person just didn't work out. So when I found him, it felt like this big, like, where's this person been all this time? I've been struggling for like 2 years to find the right people. And he's just been there on YouTube this whole time. I think, yeah, as I said, musical soulmates.
So have you guys done this whole process then, being in different locations?
Yeah, mostly for the
oh, wow.
most part, yeah. I mean, we met like recently, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, we were
doing and that was your
like
first.
Yeah, that was the. I think we released music and then we met, which is kind of strange.
That's
yeah.
insane. Yeah.
It was yeah, kind of weird, but like we'd video call and stuff. And then Mario came to stay with me for 2 weeks. I think it was November. We were very shy at the time. I feel like we're both very shy people. So, you know, I think as well, we both had this plan to like make so much music when we first met. But then it was kind of like an overwhelming feeling of like, knowing each other for so long, expecting to make so much, and then we were kind of just like, okay, we're actually strangers in a way,
right? Yeah,
so we need to get to know each other a bit more in real life before we can actually, you know, feel, you know, comfortable enough to make something. And it kind of happened like near the end of the time he was here, so we spent the best part of 2 weeks like becoming friends in real life, and then at the end of it we were like so comfortable to make stuff together, and then he had to go home. So I'm really excited for the next time that we can get together in a studio, because you know, we won't be too shy next time.
Hopefully. Yeah,
that's really lovely. Okay, so let's take a listen then. So this is the Gigamesh remix of After Party by Amor.
To keep up with you, with all the baggage that's weighing me down, I say you're trying it too, but when you get it, the show will be done. Yeah, it's not a treasure just 'cause it's shiny. You said that if you ever knew, you'd try to stop me. Don't be conceited, you leave me hanging. Funny, 'cause hanging was how you found me. Is it wrong to say I didn't need to try to pretend that I'm sorry this isn't working out? I hate that I'm okay. Maybe I'll go through a couple days until loathing self-centered and sabotage. I know the song is in my brain, and every time you hear it playing, it filters so the turns it to the sweetest pain.
The rest of it all goes. You and I will make up as we go. To be cool, it's all I'm doing around you so far. I'll keep you out for a while. It's not as easy as you said it was. Your friends are mad, I wish I had it. I know they hate me 'cause they were just clear about it. I miss the square store, the after party.
Pain. Oh, the rest of it all goes. So that was After Party by Moore. I'm so obsessed with that song. I just absolutely love it. It was actually one of the songs that sort of made me think that I wanted to do this podcast. And when I did like a little mini 15-minute mock-up with my friends, that was one of the songs that I used as an example. So, big fan over here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's so sweet.
So was this like a pre-planned project, something you guys have been working on for a very long time? Because I know you said obviously that Just Little was done earlier. Or was it a bit of a COVID project?
It was kind of a thing I was trying to create anyway, at uni mainly, trying to find, you know, people for my band. I didn't really expect it to go into like a duo sort of direction, because I've always pictured myself doing music in the sense of like being surrounded by different instrumentalists and being together as a band and writing together. And I think just from experience through doing it, I found that it felt more right with the way that me and Mario would make music together. And obviously one day when we do our gigs, we'll have real instruments being played with people, with session musicians. But it kind of stemmed from me having a band and then Mario coming in to help me with production and writing. And then we kind of just formed this little duo thing together.
Yeah, I was initially supposed to be like just helping Megan with production, as they said, but yeah, I don't know, the like being in a band in 2020, it did not sound right initially, like it felt wrong. But once we started like making music and like sending stuff back and forth, then it made kind of sense.
So how does your sort of songwriting process work then? Is it sort of one of you takes lyrics, one of you takes melodies, or you know, you share the production, or is it just sort of all hands on deck?
I wish we had like a method of doing it, but I realize as we're like pretty early on this process. But yeah, it's usually like the thing is that we're both producers and songwriters and we sing, so that's like, we're pretty fortunate in that we can like both of us can write a song from start to finish and produce it. So we can start an idea and send it to each other, and then we can simultaneously work on two songs. Like somebody can finish the song, like the idea that I sent to Megan, for example, and then I can finish something that Megan sent to me. Or yeah, it's just endless options really if we can both do everything. So that's pretty cool. I've never had that before with anyone. So
yeah, I love that we both kind of have the same way of doing it as well. Like obviously from before I could do any sort of production, it would be kind of hard to write stuff, because you know, I've got all these ideas in my head, but because I couldn't produce it, I didn't really know how to make it something. So with us both having like production experience and being able to put our ideas into something, like we can go from maybe having like a 4-bar loop and one of us making the whole song from that, or for example the other day I did something with just guitar and he did the same actually the other day. So you know, it's kind of, yeah, as you said, it's kind of endless of what with the way we make things. It's, you know, it's not, I guess, the more traditional way of like the singer writing a song with a guitar and then the producer producing it, because you know, we both do it. So
yeah, it sounds very collaborative.
It's mostly done on Zoom as well, obviously.
Story of 2020.
I mean, we'd be doing it on Zoom anyway because we live in different countries.
Yeah, it's true. You're the pros. You mentioned that one of the reasons that there was such a big gap between the two singles was that you wanted to find the right person to do the remix. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the remixes and kind of, because it seems you were pretty set on having a remix in the first place, and you've also got a few for Just a Little as well. So I was just sort of wondering a bit about that.
Yeah, so I work at a house record label, just as my normal job at the moment, and it's also like a family business, and I'm working closely with the managing director, and he's obviously very house driven, so he really wanted to get involved in our project, and his way of, you know, trying to get involved was saying, well, why don't we do a remix for each of the tracks? And when he showed us the artists that he thought would be good to do the songs, at first I was thinking, a house remix, I'm not really sure about it, because, you know, I didn't really generally listen to house music, and I don't know if Mario did. I think you do, right?
I used to pretty heavily.
Yeah, so at first I wasn't really too keen on the idea of a remix, because, you know, he came to me with this idea and I was like, maybe. And then he showed me Luxury and I saw his, like, disco songs, and I was like, that's actually such a good idea. So we got Luxury to do the first one, and that was really cool. I'm sure that also helped with us gaining the streams for the first song, because obviously he's got 100,000 monthly listeners on Spotify as well. So that was really fun. And then for After Party, I don't think we really wanted another remix, but my auntie loves Gigamesh, and she asked my uncle, can we get Gigamesh to remix Megan Mario's new song? And he was very, very down to do it. And seeing his remixes that are, like, really 80s driven to Love on the Brain by Rihanna, or a Donna Summer song that's in, like, Charlie's Angels, I was like, wow, this dude is pretty good. Like, he's really good. And seeing that he did Cooler Than Me by Mike Posner, that was cool as hell. So I was so down to do that, and I think Mario was as well. And I'm so glad he said yes, because he said that he wasn't really taking much on at the time. So with him saying yes, it was, like, really, really cool. And obviously people seem to like it, because it's getting lots of streams at the moment.
Yeah, it really works.
I love the I cried when I first heard the remix.
It must be really cool as well, hearing, like, other people's takes on your music.
Yeah,
it's like a completely different context. It's like you're used to hearing the same song for months on end. You hate it at this point, and then somebody else is like, you know, what about now? It's like,
yeah.
Oh.
I love the remix so much. Like, I love both of them equally. They're like two of my kids. It's so good. We wanted to give Gigamesh a lot of time to explore different ways to remix a song. At the start, he said he was going to explore a couple of different directions, and at one point I think he was juggling a few ideas and seeing what felt right, so I think he was developing a couple of them, and we didn't want to rush the process, because, you know, you can't rush perfection. So we did originally want to release the song in September, but, you know, it does take some time for, you know, you can't just give someone something and expect them to have it done very quickly. So we really wanted to give him, like, freedom to take his time and get the vibes right. And then obviously you have to, you know, pre-plan. After you've got that song, then you have to get it mastered, and then you have to wait for it to be uploaded onto Spotify and all of that stuff. So that's why it took a bit of extra time. But I think it wasn't such a bad idea.
Yeah, it was definitely worth the wait. So we'll finish off with a quick fire round. So I'm just going to ask something, and you just got to go with first thing that pops into your head, okay?
Oh, shit, okay.
You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, number one, who's your favourite solo artist?
Taylor Swift.
Sabrina Claudio.
Nice, nice. The best band that you've ever seen live?
Muna.
I've never been to a gig.
This guy.
Do you know what? That answer comes up surprisingly often for a music podcast.
Oh my god, thank you. That makes me feel so much better, actually.
Cool. Okay, so number three, your dream collaboration?
Muna.
Quincy Jones. I don't know. I highballed it.
Your guilty pleasure song?
We Belong Together, Mariah Carey.
I don't know if I have a guilty pleasure. It's probably something from, like, Camp Rock too, because I know they're bad, like, bad songs, but, like,
yeah, I'll second that. The whole soundtrack of The Princess Diaries 2 and both Camp Rocks.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them guilty though, so I don't know. Like,
people would class them guilty pleasures, probably.
Yeah, that's why.
They're just pleasures.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then the last one, what's your favorite track of your own?
This next one, actually, my favorite so far, I think.
The next one.
Yeah.
I think one that we haven't even, like, made yet. We made, like, 45 seconds of it, and Mario wrote like the funniest lyric I've ever heard in my life. I'm so excited for that. It's the best. But of the ones that we've released, After Party is like has a special place in my heart.
Cool, amazing. Well, thanks so much for your time and
coming in
for a little chat. We've had a great time. Yes, everyone, go check him out on Spotify. So that is Amor, and today we listened to the Gigamesh remix of After Party. Okay, so we finally hit our last track of the episode. We've had a bit of a nostalgic vibe today, I think. We've had a lot of things that have been inspired by like 70s and the 80s and stuff. This last track, I love this song. Like, it's been on my playlist. I put it on my running playlist. It's just, I just really love it. So this is Wasted by Rippers. He says that he's kind of drawn on influences from his favourite bands from the 1990s, which is why I was like, oh, we've got a bit of a nostalgic vibe. They do remind me a little bit of sort of that May Day Parade style of where it is, it's definitely like rock and it's definitely got that sort of pop punk aspect, but also there's something very beautiful about it and something very like melodic and kind of like swayable around it. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's a follow-up from his last track, actually, Lost Souls. But ironically, this one does have more listeners. But yeah, so definitely have a listen. I'm obsessed with this song. I'm obsessed with this song. So this is Wasted by Rippers. Wasted by Rippers. I think it's very relatable at the moment, you know, that feeling of the walls closing in and the patient's wearing thin and, you know, feeling like we're wasting
like, you know, we're wasting time. I actually said to my mum yesterday, I was sat on the sofa and I was like, mum, I'm wasting my hot years. This isn't fair. But I think everyone, you know, especially being in lockdown, that sort of frustration. So I think it's really a song that at the moment everyone can relate to. And he just has such a beautiful voice and this intense control over his vocals. And I'm really, really excited to see what happens next. I feel like I said that about everyone today. But yeah, I've loved everyone today. I'm just excited to see what happens next, what everyone does. I think that's one thing that's been really lovely about, like, the lockdown. And, you know, people can't leave the houses, so they're turning to other ways to spend their time, which means that a lot more people are kind of getting back on their creative sides, and we're getting loads of bedroom music that we weren't getting before lockdown, especially by people who maybe were furloughed or just suddenly have a lot more time on their hands because they're not, you know, running around like a headless chicken doing whatever it is that they're normally doing. But yeah, it's been great. And I feel like I need to end on a cheery note because I went a bit dark there. So good vibes only, guys. And yeah, I mean, that's the end. That's all I got for you today, my friends. So keep your ears peeled. I'm going to say I'll be back next week, but who knows? I'll be back when I'm back. Anyone listening, link in the bio. If you're a musician or you know a musician, always looking for new talent, new faces, new vibes, new jams, go submit your tunes because we're planning for season 2. Because the plan is to have 6 episodes in season 1. And remember, guys, stay groovy.